Nice. The AC just turned on. Turns on with a loud click. 100-year-old buildings. Anyway, hi, how are you doing? I was just in the shower. It's the most random thing. And the Lord just put it on my heart to record something tonight. And this hardly ever happens, so when it does, I try to take it seriously. And it's, it always feels like really special too, because I know he's given me something that somebody needs, and I remember being the person who needed a message. It still happens. I'll be having a bad day, and then something will cross my path that I know is from him, and it helps. And so that's what I'm praying that this does for you. So I just want to start off by saying I'm not blind to the fact that to someone who's never been abused or experienced sexual assault or trauma, I might sound like a broken record. This whole podcast that I've been doing, a lot of the ministry that I do, what I speak about at events, it must sound pretty repetitive and redundant. And sometimes I do become really self-conscious about it. And honestly, I can't help that a lot of the messages that God gives me are centered around healing. And then I have nights like tonight where God reminds me that he gives me these types of messages because they're needed. The past year, I went on a book tour. I published a book, and so we were going to events, and I was sharing about it. And several times, I would be in a room full of women, beautiful women, dressed up, like, gorgeous, outfits on point, the makeup, hair, nails, jewelry, everything looking amazing, just so put together. And then I would get up and just share my story as quickly as I could, hold up the book, just kind of explain what God's done for me. And a handful of times, the Lord would ask me to just take a moment, we wouldn't film this, and have everybody in the room who's experienced some kind of sexual trauma specifically to raise their hand. And I can't tell you how many times the entire room, almost outside of maybe 3 or 4 people, would raise their hand. And I think that's so brave to speak out in such a way in front of people you don't know or maybe don't know very well, and open yourself up to the possibility of being judged or seen as a victim. That didn't happen in any of these settings, and afterwards these women would come up to me and we would talk, and they'd get the book, and I've heard amazing stories of what God has done. So I just wanted to preface this with just the fact that maybe if hearing about healing tonight isn't really something that you're looking for, that's fine. Move on. But if you have pain hidden inside of you, and there are certain topics that break you when they come up, and you try your best to avoid them, but if someone were to mention something that could trigger a memory and it has the power to ruin your entire day, then can I just ask you to, even if you don't know me that well, even if you're like, who's this crazy lady and what qualifies you to speak on this, please just give it a chance. Because God, he's really done a number in my life. And that's the reason I share this podcast. Just a little bit about me. I come from a long line of abused women, and I myself was abused from the time I was a year old until I was 17, when my birth dad died. He sexually and physically abused me. We were starved. I was just beaten. He would verbally abuse me as well. Took me years to realize that, but just years and years of being treated like you're nothing and being told that you're nothing. He would kind of use me to satisfy himself and then toss me away. He didn't want to see me or hear me unless I was existing for him and his pleasure. He controlled everything I did. He picked out my clothes. He dressed me like a little doll and then used me like one, and just shattered my self-worth. And I honestly, by the time I finished high school, I thought I would end up being a stripper. if I'm just going to be honest with you. My mother was abused. I have siblings who were abused. Extended family, most of my friends growing up had been abused. Just, it's so widespread, and God took me from thinking I was going to be a stripper at 18 to calling me into ministry the same year. That's how rapid and life-changing his healing was in my life. I had no confidence. I was born with a stutter, and then, you know, I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to be seen. I was always told, you have no opinion, you have no autonomy, no control over your life. You exist to please others, and that's it. So I was a people pleaser, and I was a doormat. And any little feeling, any need that I had, I stuffed it deep down inside of myself because I didn't want to bother anybody. I thought, you know, I'm not, other people can be normal and feel things. I'm not allowed to. And so God, one thing he did for me is he poured down so much love and so much patience. And I detail a lot of my journey in my new book, To the Unloved. And that really does, it reads like a love letter from God to people who have been broken, who have been given even like a false portrait of who he is. My birth father, who abused me, who did all of that, he called himself a Christian. And he read the Bible every day. I don't know why God wasn't able to change him. I think he just wouldn't let him. But seeing my birth dad read the Bible every day and then close it and abuse me had me thinking that God was just like him. So when I tell you, God, he earned my trust. He healed my life. And yeah, it's in the book. It's in this podcast. It's a big part of everything that I do. Because right after he healed me, what helped me step into ministry was I learned that 98% of women have been abused. And 97% of those abusers will never see one day in prison. They'll never see 1 minute where they have to answer for what they did. I tried bringing a case against my father, didn't pan out. No one believed me. And that again made me, it confirmed everything I already believed about myself, that I didn't matter. And then here came God, literally turned my life upside down, told me things I could not believe until I could believe them. So, anyway, I was in the shower, and he just put something so strong in my heart that I felt like someone needed to hear tonight. And I'm even going to wait until he tells me to post this, because I really do believe he has someone special in mind for this lesson. And it's just a simple truth that you are more than what has happened to you. I'm just going to say that again. You're more than what's happened to you. I think that when we go through so much, perhaps you've been through so much, and it's not just one thing that's happened, not just one person who's hurt you, but multiple people over many years. I know what that's like. And it gets you into this mindset of, life is never going to be good for me. I don't deserve it. And so you just expect things to stay wrong and keep going wrong in the future. And I think that, especially for me, I defined myself by what I'd been through. And it's like when I looked in the mirror, I saw a victim. And I couldn't see it, but I did that for years. In the book, I describe a moment when God finally woke me up. I was in ministry for years, helping women, speaking about healing for years, still defining myself by what I'd been through. And I didn't know it, because it's a sneaky, insidious thing that the enemy does. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. But I, Jesus, came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You know, some of us, we read that verse and we imagine a thief, literally, like that storybook version of a thief who comes with a the black blindfold and the striped outfit and the bag thrown over his shoulder, running off with all of your stuff. But in real life, the thief comes in much uglier ways. And for a lot of people, he steals their innocence before they're even old enough or wise enough to understand what that means. He steals our childhoods from us. He steals our sense of safety, our security, our sense of worth, so that all we have left is the pain. So when we look in the mirror, that's all that we see. And even after God pieced me back together, I saw myself as his daughter. I saw myself as someone who was loved. That had hit home. But it's like the first thing I would say when someone asked me about myself is, I'm God's daughter. I'm a preacher. I was abused. And I'm telling you, I clung to that third part with like a death grip, because I thought, who am I without that? There's nothing interesting about me. And so there's a part in my book, I'm not going to read it, don't worry, but it was one of my favorite things to write, because I'll always remember the moment. I was cleaning my bathroom at home, and just like an ordinary day, I was kind of drifting in thought. I had music playing, just doing like Sunday afternoon after church chores for the week. My bathroom nozzle was gross, because that's like the one area I always forget to clean until I look at it, and it's just nasty. So I was scrubbing that, and it literally felt like God was in the room with me and just shattered my world in a really good way. And he pretty much told me, your past is not the most interesting thing about you. Honestly, I might read the exact words. It's not long, don't worry. But it's out of chapter 10, in case you're reading the book and you want to know where this is. It's chapter 10, or page 277. So, let me see, right here. I was cleaning the sink, miles away in my thoughts, and God tapped me on the shoulder. And just as clearly as you can hear the blast of a car horn, the deep hum of a bass, or the hearty cackle of someone embroiled in conversation, I heard the Lord gently but loudly, politely but forcefully, say to me, Kelly, you think that your past is the most interesting thing about you, but it's not. I am. My love for you is what sets you apart. I didn't choose you to work for me because you have suffered. I chose you long before any of that happened. The abuse chose you because I chose you, not the other way around. So stop wearing your pain like a name tag. Wear my love. And, you know, God confirms this in his word in the book of Jeremiah when he says, the word of the Lord came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. You know, I didn't see it for a long time, but me defining myself by the pain of my past, it kept me from making all the progress I could have been making and living life as freely as I could have been living it. I'm not saying I wasn't living free or that I wasn't making progress, but I would make some, and then I would remember and take a step back. I'd remember what I'd been through. And I'd pick up a little bit of that shame that I had just set down. And it was just this endless cycle of being almost completely free, but not quite. Maybe you know what I'm talking about here, where your life is normal now, and you're happy, but every so often, you feel this heaviness, and you don't know why it's there, what brought it on, and you avoid certain conversations, and you think, I'm fine as long as we don't talk about that. I'm okay. It doesn't bother me any, like, what happened to me, it doesn't bother me anymore. But a little bit inside it does. Maybe you cling to the pain of your past like I did, because if you let it go completely, it feels like you're being gypped of justice, like you're missing out on something you're owed. I used to think, if I don't remember what happened to me, who will? It mattered. Who's going to remember it if I just let it go? I can't just let it go like it's nothing, like it didn't happen, like it was just a small thing when what happened to me for years shattered me. So I would remember it and I'd wear it as like I'm a survivor. I'd wear it like a badge. But it took the place of God's love in my life. It was filling a spot that He wanted to fill. And so if you're looking for healing, I do recommend To the Unloved, because I go into how God helped me to like lay that down and not feel like I was losing out on justice. It's all in chapter 9. If you want to read about the details of that journey specifically, it's chapter 9 in To the Unloved. But going more into this lesson, just being able to be more than what you've been through. I found a sweet verse in Psalm 107 the other day that I've just been kind of sitting with. It's verse 8 of 107, where it's written, Let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for mankind, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. I'm telling you, I must have read this verse 1,000 times, but the Lord put a beautiful spin on it. I was having a stressful day, and I was trying to hide it. I still go back to those old habits of not allowing myself to be a human and thinking, I'll deal with this later, referring to my own emotions. My own needs, I put them on the back burner. God used this, for He's specifically using verse 9, for He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. It's okay to be thirsty and hungry. Victimhood won't let us feel things, because if you feel too much, it can be overwhelming and you drown in those emotions. But part of being healed and whole means you're able to feel things now, and you're not going to drown in those feelings anymore. And even if you do, you know a great somebody who will catch you. He knows CPR. I just didn't really milk that metaphor, but okay. Can you do yourself a favor real quick and just close your eyes? I want to tell you something, and I don't want your mind to carry you off in a different direction. So just focus, okay? You are not alone. God was with you then, and He's with you now, and you're safe. It's safe to feel things. It's safe to have needs. It's perfectly okay. You're more than what's happened to you. And you get to be a whole, well-rounded, complete person now. Sometimes brokenness can be a security blanket. And what I hope that God can help us all to do is let go of the pain that brings us a strange sense of comfort because it's what we're used to, it's familiar, and cling to His love instead. God wants you to cling to His love for you even more than you cling to the pain of your past, instead of clinging to the pain of your past. He wants you to know that you are loved through and through. He wants you to wear that proudly every day, and to not think of yourself the way that you were. You get to be a new creation now. It says that in 2 Corinthians. You get to be a brand new creation now. Everything is new. There's another beautiful verse in Isaiah. It is Isaiah 43, verse 19, where God promises, "Listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth, so suddenly it'll be right there with you. Will you not be aware of it? I will put a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert." Yeah, you're used to the desert. You might be used to being in the wilderness and kind of having to tough it out a lot of the time, having life just be really hard. God's doing a new thing. He's doing something new in you and around you. And I love that he says, "Will you not be aware of it?" If we're not aware, we'll miss it. If we're so focused on who we were and what we've been through, defining ourselves by that, we miss out on the love and the abundance that God wants us to have. I pray that you're able to receive this and that it bless you in some way. Before we go, I just want to share something. It took me a while to work through it, but I think I'm ready now. I've been walking this road with God for about a decade now, maybe, 12 years. And he's taught me a lot, but I'm not perfect, okay? I just quit a job. Because it was toxic and it was breaking me. There was a coworker there who, she confided in me some things. She's being abused at home. I'm not going to break that confidence. And at first we were friends and I was trying to help her. And then I don't know what happened there. She had kind of an edge to her the whole time. Where one day she could be nice, the next she could be really cold and kind of mean. I recognized that behavior from some other family members, and I knew it was because of the abuse. And then she would ask things of me that were kind of unreasonable, but I would do them, like ask me to cover for her the next day at 7 o'clock the night before. I would do that a couple times, or she would go out of town when another coworker was out of town, knowing that he'd leave me alone to do 3 jobs. Stuff like that. And over time, it felt like she's taking advantage of me. And she didn't want help getting out of the abuse. And I'm not going to go into that kind of stuff, but sometimes the abused can become abusers. And at work, she just was not very nice and kind of, she was mistreating me and a couple of other coworkers, and she ran off 2 others, and then that left kind of me to deal with her by myself. It's just, the bully in high school, where, like, when you grow up, you know something must have been going on with them at home. But at the time, you just know, like, they're being mean. That was her in a nutshell. And I left for my own mental health. I knew, like, I don't put up with abuse in my life. I went to our manager about it, just like, hey, can you talk to her about this? Didn't help. It kind of made things worse. So I left for my own mental health. And it was a good reminder at what can happen when you don't heal. Not blaming her for that experience. It just, she's been hurt and now she's hurting others. That whole saying is true, hurt people hurt people. And it's like, she knew my line of work outside of that job. Honestly, I'm not a confrontational person. I don't like toxic environments. I don't tolerate abuse, but I don't like to feed into it either. So there were moments when she wanted to scream. I don't scream at people. That's not something that I do. I think it breaks people, and it's so easy to abuse someone and to shatter them. And I made a promise to the Lord years ago. I never want to be the reason someone comes to Him for healing. I haven't been perfect in this. I know there must have been times someone has, and I've broken someone, but I don't do it on, I never do it knowingly. And so all I'm saying is, it's a vitally important thing to heal. As if we don't progress and become who God made us to be, I think that there's a real danger in becoming someone we don't recognize in a couple of years. So anyway, my prayer for you is just joy and peace in your heart, and to know that you're loved before you know anything else about yourself. Define yourself by God's love. Let Him work in you and through you. Okay, have a good night.